Hi there, everybody. This is Richie Faulkner from Judas Priest and Elegant Weapons, and you're watching That Metal Interview Podcast.
New band, new project. We welcome here on the show the members, Ronnie Romero, Rainbow, Michael Schenker Group, Davey Rimmer, Uriah Heep, Chris Williams, except on the drums, and our guest, the guitarist, Richie Faulkner of Judas Priest, and now also of this project, Elegant Weapons is the name of the band. And let's check out Do or Die from Elegant Weapons before we speak to Richie Faulkner. We'll be right back. thunderstorm and array of guitars in your face is a good way to describe this rock metal force. A force to be reckoned with for sure. The future of metal, in my eyes, as he speaks about that, as some of these bands are getting older, Judas Priest, Rainbow, Uriah Heep, except this is a band that will carry the flag in the future, Elegant Weapons. So check it out. This is our interview with Richie Faulkner of Judas Priest and Elegant Weapons. Check it out. First question, a new band, Elegant Weapons, debut record also, Horns for a Halo, dropping May 26th, Nuclear Blast. Can you speak to us about the writing process, lyrics, riffs, who's the riff master, arranger and all that?
Yeah, I mean, it came about, I was able to focus all the ideas that I've had over the last few years during the pandemic, really. You know, we had some time off with Priest, we weren't touring. The Priest record was written, so I could dedicate all the creative ideas that I had to this record. So that's what I did. I sat down and I went through my files and my riff ideas and everything like that. And I didn't know, you know, did I have some songs? Did I have an EP? Did I have an album? Did I have a band? You know, I didn't know what I had, but it was a priority, really. I wanted something that sounded different to Priest. Obviously, it's the same DNA. You know what I mean? I write for Priest as well, and I've been fortunate and very grateful to be able to do that.
Nice.
But I wanted something that stood on its own outside of Priest. Otherwise, to me, there would have been no point, you know. If it sounded like Priest, there's no point. That's what we do with Priest, you know. But so luckily, fortunately, it sounded a bit different to what Priest do while containing the same kind of DNA. So I kind of went with it, you know. And so how I write is melody first, you know. I write the riff, I'm always playing, so it's always the riffs that jump out from the guitar. It's not me. I don't do the guitar. Kind of provides the riffs.
Yeah,
almost, you know.
Really,
I don't know where they come from. They just kind of jump out. It's the riffs first, and then I'll kind of put like a melody. You know, sometimes I'd kind of, you know, sing a phrase that matches the melody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we'd try and find words that fit that melody and then go from there. So that's how most of them took shape, and that's how they started anyway. So that's how I've always written. I always feel like if you know, if me and you started a band and we wrote some songs and we went to a non-English speaking country, people would understand the riffs before they might understand the lyrics.
Lyrics. You
know? So to me, it's always been the melody's been really important, and the riffs have been important to me. And I'm a huge fan of, you know, Iommi and James Hetfield, and obviously Priest and Maiden, and even, you know, Black Label Society, Ozzy, with, you know, Randy and Jake and all those guys. So I've been a big fan of the riff. So it's kind of what drives the whole song. If I hit a riff, I can put a song around that. So that's kind of how most processes start, really.
That's cool how you say you're not sure where the riffs come from, but they just come out through the guitar. I've seen an interview recently with James Hetfield where he speaks something similar, where he says the guitar is his way of expressing his soul. So that's cool. You're not sure where it comes from.
Well, yeah, James is a master. I mean, he's one of my top influences of all time, you know.
Yes.
Obviously, for me, it comes through my influences of people like James Hetfield. You know, when you listen to a Metallica track, it makes you feel a certain way. You know, stuff like, you know, Call of Cthulhu or Creeping Death, or there's so many of them, like Leper Messiah or something like that. It makes you feel a certain way. So I think on a subconscious level, you're trying to recreate what you feel from hearing influences like that on a subconscious level. So when you're playing guitar, when I'm playing guitar, stuff like that seems to jump out, but that's where it's coming from. It's coming from my subconscious, and it's a love for music like that and the way it makes me feel.
So how did this project come together, Richie? You got a great lineup. You got Chris from Accept, Ronnie, a beast for sure, Davey of Uriah Heep. How did this come together?
Well, on the record, obviously I had Scott Travis from Priest and Rex Brown from Pantera, along with Ronnie. But, you know, obviously Rex and Scott, they were doing other things. Obviously, we know Rex is doing the Pantera stuff. So when it came to putting a band together to move forward into the live arena, I wanted people that, you know, were great musicians, but they were friends as well. I mean, Chris, he was intimately involved with this record. He actually put down the early recordings before Scott came in later and replaced the drums. But Christopher, I wanted to start the recordings, and Scott wasn't available, so I got Christopher in to record the drums first. So he was connected with the drums from a long time back. So he was a no-brainer, really, to ask if he would play in the band. And Davey, I've been friends with Davey for over 20 years, and we go back playing in bars and clubs in London.
Okay.
Before I got the gig in Judas Priest, and he got the gig in Uriah Heep. So he's a great friend of mine. I was best man at his wedding, you know. Okay. So we're kind of that close, you know.
Yeah.
So it was a no-brainer to get them two in to join me and Ronnie, and take the band forward into the live arena. So I've just been incredibly fortunate and blessed to have, you know, all these guys connected with Elegant Weapons, and to be honest, they make me sound good. So I'm very fortunate.
It's a badass jam, the stuff we've heard so far.
That's exactly what it is, man. You couldn't have put it any better than that. It's a badass jam, man, for sure.
That's what it is. It's metal, rock metal, for sure. Awesome.
Yes.
So which is your favorite track on this album?
I think my favorite track is probably Horns for a Halo. It's the title track. It's just something, for me, something about it is something very Black Sabbath, Alice in Chains about it. It's kind of melodic, but it's dark and groovy. And I like the subject as well, you know, the Horns for a Halo. We're all human. We do good and we do evil.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, what are we going to be judged for? You know, that's the kind of question. So I like the imagery of that. I like the groove. I like the vibe, and that's probably my favorite of the. That's probably why I called the album that. Maybe
that's an awesome title, Horns for Halo. Very cool, very original. So
cool, man.
Elegant Weapons. What's behind that name, and whose idea was that?
Well, I came up with a name. It's really a tribute to the instruments that we play and that we create the music on. In my case, it's the guitar, you know, and it's like the Flying V is a beautiful instrument, but it's deadly.
Yeah.
You know, it's so that's the kind of the opposites, the juxtaposition. You know, it's like a samurai sword. You know, you've got a beautiful thing, but it's a deadly thing. It's like the Flying V. You know, it's a beautiful instrument, but it's a deadly one in the music that it creates. So that's where it came from. And it's also a reference to the lightsaber that Obi-Wan Kenobi gives to Luke Skywalker in Star Wars. So
okay.
it's a double meaning there.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Nice. Very cool name. So will we ever see the band on the road during a Priest break or something?
Yeah, we've got some dates coming up in Europe in June and July. We've got some dates with Pantera in Europe. And then we've got some festival dates as well. So... I can't believe it's May already, so just over a month away we'll be taking to Europe to play some dates. So the album comes out at the end of this month, and then we're jetting off to Europe to play some dates. So it was always important to me to be a band that plays live and puts out records and you know, grows creatively, both in the studio and live as well. Live is where it's at to me, you know. That's where the band becomes the band, you know. We interact and it's spontaneous and you're one with the audience, you know. That's what it's about for me. So it was important to have that dynamic with the band.
That's cool how some people might not realize how all your band members you just mentioned have different bands and schedules, and yet they make time for this upcoming tour you speak of, for example, except they have their own schedules. And Rainbow, you know, Uriah Heep, so all this is work behind closed doors, right? Office work. Some people don't even know that. That's so cool.
Well, yeah, you know, I think we're all in bands. You know, Judas Priest have been around now for over 50 years.
Yeah.
Except Rainbow, Uriah Heep, all those bands. I think we see it as our duty to one day take that DNA and that legacy forward in what we do. You know, I think it's reality that, you know, those bands aren't going to be around forever.
Yeah.
When they aren't, we can take that forward in our own band that we put together, you know, while being in them. So, but they're still very much a priority in our lives, obviously, that those bands. But we were lucky enough to get some time to be able to sow the seeds and lay the groundwork for Elegant Weapons, so that we can hopefully in the future take this into the future with our own stuff.
Wow, very cool. I hadn't thought about that, the future. So are you guys mixing in any, besides the new album stuff, new tracks, live, mix in your bands, for example, a bit of Priest, a bit of Heap, a bit of Rainbow, you know? Or is just all strictly Elegant Weapons?
We might do. We'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, the shows we're doing, we don't have... Obviously, we've only got one album's worth of material at the moment.
Yeah.
But we're not doing two-hour sets, you know. We're not getting booked for two-hour sets, so we should be okay. If we have any extra time, we might throw some extra songs in, and we'll see what fun we can come up with. You know, it might be some Priest, might be some Uriah Heep. But, you know, we'll see what we come up with. The options are open at the moment.
Interesting. So here's a question I'm sure you've been asked many, many times. Which is the first song you got to jam with Judas Priest, and how did you feel?
Do you know, I think... if I remember correctly, it might have been Rapid Fire, because we went in and we started rehearsals back in 2011. I think we've probably started with the set, and the set at the time was it started with Rapid Fire and Metal Gods. So I think that's probably my memory is not what it used to be, man. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But I think it was probably those two songs. I think it was probably Rapid Fire and Metal Gods.
How did you feel when you strapped on your guitar and waited for the Scotch counts? And
oh, it was nuts, man. It was like unreal. You know, it was surreal. You know, you're in a room with these legends.
Wow.
Playing legendary music, and it was just it was incredible, really. I remember being out of tune, so I was a bit self-conscious, and I had to, obviously, after the second song, I had the opportunity to tune up, but I remember being slightly out of tune, so it was a bit embarrassing. I was like, the new boy is out of tune, but it was just incredibly surreal to be a part of that experience, and still be here today, man. It's nuts.
Yeah, so you are human. You play out of tune sometimes. By mistake.
Because, I mean, you know,
yeah.
Jimi Hendrix played out of tune all the time. If he's good enough for Hendrix, he's good enough for me.
Exactly. So which is the most difficult solo you had to learn, Richie, from Priest?
I would say it's probably One Shot at Glory or All Guns Blazing is a tough one.
Nice.
One of those two jumped to mind straight away. Let me think. Yeah, I mean, they've jumped to mind, so probably one of those. There's a lot of different ones, and they're difficult for different reasons. You know, some of them are not technically hard, but you have to embody the sentiment of the solo, the feel and the emotion, and that's sometimes more difficult than the technicality of them. So there's different solos for different reasons, but I'd say from a technical point of view, All Guns Blazing and One Shot at Glory for sure.
Have you received any negative backlash for? Of course, we all know you replaced KK. Any of that? Any negative fans out there? That might be a dumb question.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, the internet. You know, the internet is the internet, and that's part of the world we live in now.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but you've got to kind of you do what you do to the best of your ability. You know, I got the gig. The guys in the band picked me, and you've got to go with that. And of course, there's going to be negativity. I mean, replacing KK after 40 years, replacing anyone after 40 years is going to be a shock to a lot of people that have been with the band for that long. You know, so I totally understand it. I mean, I probably would have been the same. You know.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if people understood, I wasn't there to replace anyone as such. I was there, he left, you know, and I was there. I could never replace Ken. You know, Ken's Ken. I've just got to respect his legacy and do my own thing moving forward, and that's all I can do. But of course you're going to get negativity. That's part of the world we live in today, yeah.
Right. So hats off, and much respect to you for what you had to go through, or whatever you might have gone through with these hecklers, or whatever you might want to call these people. But you're doing an awesome job. Yeah.
Thank you, man. It's because people care. It's people that have been with Priest at the time for 40 years. You can imagine, man. They love the band so much.
Yeah.
They've been with the band for so many years, and all of a sudden there's a big change like that. Not everyone is going to be happy about it, and we've got the ability now to voice our opinions publicly, and that's just what it is. And I might have thought the same if, you know, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a different situation, or something else where I might have thought the same. If it's something that had been around for 40 years changed like that, I might have had the same kind of opinion. But it's just a natural human emotion for sure, but it's because they care so much.
Give us an update with your health. It's been out there in the media, and we all know what happened, right? And we're glad you're doing okay, by the way. Give us an update on that. What's going on there?
I appreciate that, man. Thank you very much. No, I'm doing okay. I still have to go for, you know, checkups every once in a while and stay on top of my medication and stuff like that. But it's a small price to pay, really, for what happened. You know, there's some people, they go through certain things in their life, and they're not as fortunate as I am. You know, I'm able to live a relatively normal life, and you know, I'm still able to play and perform and write and play with my daughter and my family. I'm a lucky guy, really, to not only come through what I did, but able to live a normal life. You know, some people, as I said, are a lot less fortunate. So I'm just grateful to be here and still be able to do what I do.
Speaking of family, George Lynch is your father-in-law, right?
Well, kind of, yes. Yeah.
Wow.
George, he sent me some messages yesterday, actually. He was on the, he's on one of the cruises, you know, one of the Hard Rock cruises.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was watching Michael Schenker, and actually Ronnie sings with Michael. So he was sending me videos of Michael playing some ridiculously good guitar. We're both, you know, fans of Michael Schenker and UFO, yeah. And he was sending me some videos because he's a huge fan. So it was great to see Michael playing, and always good to hear George talk about his heroes as well. So he's a great guy.
Here's a dumb question: have you guys jammed together in a room, just sat down with the guitars and?
Yeah, there's been a couple of times we sat down with some guitars and just noodled around. You know, we did like an Instagram live type thing where I set the camera rolling and George was in it with me, and we just noodled around a couple of chords and solo stuff, and just for fun, really, you know. But obviously George, we don't live together. George lives in a different state, so
yeah.
When he's able to come over and visit, or when we're able to go over and visit him, we do. But you know, we don't see him as much as we'd like to, really.
Yeah, I'll have him. He'll be on the show tomorrow on the podcast. So,
oh, fantastic! Say hi to him.
I will. We'll do. So, how's the new Priest album shaping up? What can we expect?
It's shaping up really well, man. It's. I mean, I'm gonna say that, but like, if it wasn't, there'd be no point in doing one. You know,
right?
You have to do something that you think is better. You know, creatively. Otherwise, there'd be no point in releasing something. But it's sounding great. Songs are sounding great. Rob's sounding great. I think we're almost finished. We've got to get it mixed and mastered and stuff like that, and then we've got to actually get the label to manufacture the thing, which I think vinyl might be taking a little while these days. But apart from that, as soon as it's done, we'll let you guys know, and we'll go from there. But it's sounding fantastic, so we're excited for you to hear it.
Wow, can't wait. A big fan here. I'm sure there's millions around the world, for sure. They're all waiting. So...
Yeah, no pressure, you know, but it's that's the pressure that kind of brings the dedication to making it better. You know, we know, I mean, they know more than anyone, the fans that have put them there for the last 50 years, you know, so it's a dedication to giving the fans 1,000%, you know, making it better performance, better songs, better, you know, whatever better means at that time. The dedication to doing something better because of the dedication of the fans. So that's what it's about.
About the fans, yeah. What's next right now for yourself? What's on your agenda right now?
on my agenda, I've got some more interviews to do, obviously leading up to the release of the record. I'm still working on bits and pieces for the New Elegant Weapons record, and we're working on setting up these live dates coming up in June and July. So the fun never stops, man. You know, I'm sure at some point Andy Sneap will be checking in if he starts mixing the Priest record. So it's all go. There's always something happening creative and musical in this house. So yeah, and then as I said, the record comes out at the end of the month, and then we're going to Europe for some live dates. So there's a lot happening, and we're looking forward to doing all of it. So yeah, watch this space.
Awesome. Before I let you go, would you like to send a message to your fans listening to this podcast?
Sure. Well, I just want to say, you know, a big thank you to everyone for your support over the years with Priest, and your continued support, and we can't wait for you to hear the new Priest record when it comes out. Thanks for your support with the new band Elegant Weapons, and I'm looking forward to releasing the record this month now, May 26th, and yeah, hopefully see you on the road, either in Europe or America, or hopefully in the future in Japan or wherever we get to see you. So watch this space, and see you on the road.
Awesome. Thank you, Richie. I can't wait to hear the rest of Horns for Halo. We'll see you in Texas soon. Thank you, Richie.
Thank you, man. Take care.
Horns for a Halo album dropping May 26th, Nuclear Blast Records. Name of the band, Elegant Weapons. Support Mr. Faulkner and support the rest of the guys with this new project, new band. Dropping May 26th. Check it out. Download it, stream it, purchase it ahead of time or whenever you want. And anyways, thank you to Richie Faulkner for making time and speaking to us. And thank you guys for listening, downloading, and sharing, and blah, blah, blah. Don't forget to follow us on social media, That Metal Interview Podcast, and our sister station, JRocksMetalZone.com. And don't forget to subscribe. And don't forget to keep it metal.